I want to preach a message entitled Looking Ahead, and I think it's appropriate to the beginning of the year. Psalm 112 says 6, surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast. Scripture always connects the heart of the righteous with a steadfast place. It's the people who are not serving God, who are not trusting God, who are not anchored in God, whose hearts are fearful. But those who are anchored in God and who trust in God and take refuge in God, their hearts are always firm and steadfast, no matter what the circumstances they find themselves in. And so the righteous will never be shaken. It's the same as what David said in the Psalms. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are secure, and they will have no fear. And in the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. I want to talk about having a steadfast heart as you look forward into the new year. This is a grand opportunity for us every year to come and say, I'm going to take a stand, and I'm going to wash off the sadness and the badness and the terrible of last year, and I'm going to embrace the good and the kind and the wonderful of what happened last year, and I'm going to take a fresh stand with a new gaze in my heart, and I'm going to say, Lord, I'm going to trust you for more, and I'm going to trust you for better. More and much more is what we're trusting the Lord for. Some of you came into this year with great expectations. You are buoyed up with hope. You have exciting prospects set ahead of you. You have prosperous changes in your outlook. It is good times and happy days, and you are full of faith and full of hope. The world seems like a friendly place. Possibilities are within your grasp, and you are buoyant in your spirit. The praises of God are easy in your mouth. They're not sacrifices. They're the easy fruit and the low-hanging fruit of the reality of your life. I celebrate with you and with us. Some of us, or some of you, came hoping to shake the dust off the old year, and you have scars and wounds and bruises, and some are down, and some are dazed, and some are disillusioned, but you're surviving, and you're here, and I say thank you, well done, glad to have you with us. And here we stand at the beginning of a new year with a choice to make. Do we embrace new hope, take advantage of new mercies, expand our hearts, and trust again? Do we believe God like we've never believed him before and say, here I stand, Lord. I'm just expecting good, beautiful kindness to follow me all the days of my life. Surely, goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. Or are we going to be the people who succumb to the discouragement and the doubt and the fear or the accusation that does not come from our Father but from the enemy of our souls? And we get this choice. We get to stand here at the beginning of the year and say, this is what I'm choosing my year is going to be like. And you say, Greg, it can't be that simple. Well, I think there's kind of like in the Spirit, there's like a fragrance that comes off each one of our lives. There's a fragrance to the Lord. It either smells like hope and faith and love, and it has a buoyancy and a beauty to it in the spirit, or it's diseased and doubtful and picking and groaning and mumbling. It's got an off smell, that thing. And I want to be one of those people who walks around, no matter what circumstances and no matter what challenges, but in the middle of them have a fragrance that comes off my life that has eyes that look to God and say, I know who you are. I'm trusting you anyway. There is a buoyancy. There's a steadfastness in our hearts. And we go, Lord, I'm trusting you for profound blessing. I'm asking for many and for more than we had in 2016. And many more. Many more and many more in 2016. I want it all. My wants are simple. I want it all. I want the favor of God. I want the blessing of God. I want salvations. I want healings. I want miracles. I want expansion. I want financial prosperity. I want demonstrations of glory. I want angelic visitations. I want flow of the gifts of the Spirit. I want to hear the voice of God. I want to see the power of God break out. I want to break out these walls and build on a bigger church. I want to see stuff go on in 2017. But that's not going to happen if we take a choice to go, the sky is falling. And we're asked to make this choice not in a vacuum, but against a backdrop that the scriptures are very clear about. We stand here at the beginning of this year in grace and in the Father's promised love and in renewed promised daily mercies and in the rampant favor of our God and the following goodness and loving kindness of Him. We stand here asked to believe in a God who has proven Himself utterly trustworthy, who has exalted His promises to the place where they can be taken to the bank, that when He speaks, He never violates His word. He's never let one of His words fall to the ground. That's the God who speaks to us. This is the Father that we call upon, the God who said, "My mercies are new every morning for you." How much more in the beginning of a new year? So I want to invite you to take off 2016 with all its beauty and joy and all its sadness and bruising and set it aside and come with fresh eyes and a galvanized heart to stand at this place together, that as a church we can say, "Father, we trust you for more. We want to see it all." The invitation of today's message is to find great relief and overflowing hope for this new year. It's a call to work, not a call to work harder or smarter, but to find more rest in believing. I love this. Our gospel is not a gospel that calls you for harder effort. It's a gospel that calls you to a greater faith. And those who enter by faith cease from their own works. They find rest in the promised land. They find rest in the promises of God. And their strivings are gone because we find faith. There remains for us a promised place in the gospel, a place of Sabbath rest, where we cease from trying to please God, cease from trying to earn His favor, and we find a place of rest because we believed in His only Son. The beauty of the gospel of grace. And we stand in this grace in this church today. I want to take you to Hebrews chapter 13. It's going to form the basis of what I want to preach from tonight. And it's Hebrews 13, the writer to the Hebrews is contrasting. He's written the book of Hebrews to people who were Jews, who had become Christians, and were now being told by Jews who had not become Christians, "What you're doing, that's an error. What you needed to come back is come back under the law, come back under the sacrificial system, come back under the Levitical priesthood. Stop believing in Jesus. Come back under. You can believe in Jesus if you also believe in all the Jewish stuff." And the book of Hebrews is written to show that that is an aging and obsolete and dying system of religion that is no longer useful, but there is a much, much better way. And so the writer to the Hebrews has been working that for all these chapters. And I'm picking up in the last chapter of the book of Hebrews towards the end of the book. And the writer is coming in for a close. And this is what he said. "Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by eating ceremonial foods, which are of no benefit to those who do." He said, don't go and eat the ceremonial foods, because the moment you start eating the ceremonial, well, this is the new moon feast, you have to eat this, and you have to bring that cake, and you have to sacrifice that animal, and you have to eat this. And he said, your heart is not going to be strengthened by eating ceremonial foods. Your heart is strengthened by grace, which is of no benefit to those who do so. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burned outside the camp. And so, Jesus also suffered outside the city gate. He's juxtaposing the Day of Atonement when the priest went into the holy, most holy place with the blood of a sacrificed animal and they took the body outside and burned it outside the city. And he's saying, Jesus, who is our sin offering, who is the one who made atonement for our sins, his blood was taken into the most holy place, but he was taken outside the city of Jerusalem and put to death there. So Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make people holy through his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore, for here we do not have an enduring city. I'm planning on making some renovations to my house. I keep this nagging feeling behind me. This is just temporary. I get a nagging feeling I'm going to make my house just like I like it, and then I'm going to leave it. You know that feeling? I have to sell it or something. I'm going, we do not have an enduring city right here. I have an enduring city somewhere else where Jesus has gone ahead for you and for me to prepare a place. He knows what I like. I like that. But I digress. We are looking for a city that is to come. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Our theme this month has been to keep the testimonies. And in keeping with that theme, the scriptures say that in this scripture, let us therefore, because we understand this gospel, because we don't have to go back into the tabernacle daily and weekly and every month with different prescribed and seven times a year, the seven different feasts. We don't have to do all of that. We just have to find rest in Jesus Christ. And he says, since therefore, what is that remains for us? Let us therefore bring to Jesus the fruit of lips, the continual offering of praise. The fruit of lips, in the original language, is actually the calves of our lips. The writer to the Hebrews is using the literal animals that people brought for a sacrifice, and they used to kill the sacrifice to take away their own sins. But he's saying, you no longer have to bring the sacrifice because Jesus was sacrificed on your behalf, but you have to bring a sacrifice that comes out of your mouth, the confession, the recognition of what God's done in your life, like we've just done. And hey, that's literally what God did for us this year. And we just wanted to speak it out loud. We just wanted to say, hey, look what God is doing. And the writer to the Hebrews says, you should continually. Let us therefore, through Jesus, continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips, the calves of our lips that openly profess his name. I want to encourage you in this year that you would continue to keep a record of the good things that God does for you. I just want to challenge you. Don't wait till the end of the year to start thinking. Write it down. Do it on a monthly basis. And be the kind of people who join us as a church, that we become the people who openly profess his name. And we tell the testimonies. You know, there's something, and you felt it too, when I see people up there and I see, hey, that's what God did. Something stirs in my spirit. And I go, Lord, I'll take some of that. I want that too, Lord. Something stirs. Something is awakened in our spirits when we hear the testimonies of other people, because we know the people. There's something extremely healthy, not just for you, the person who brings that sacrifice, but for us, the people who partake of the sacrifice that you bring. And that's why the writer to the Hebrews doesn't say you personally. He says, let us together as a community, let us bring and continually offer the sacrifices of praise, the fruit of lips to continually confess his name. You and I have this opportunity in this year to shake off anything that fights against your faith, to help you believe that you have a Father who loves you and wants the best for you. That you have a generous God who wants to prosper you beyond measure. That you have the God who is intricately involved in the detail of your life and will never let you go. And I thought it was a good opportunity for us at the beginning of this year to turn and with a steady heart look towards our Father and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. So I'm going to close. We're going to just play a song. I'm going to invite you to just zone out for everybody else. Turn your eyes to the Lord. And while the song plays just for a little while, I want you to dare to start believing God for good things, for his kindness. Some people, this is easy. For some people, this is going to be hard. Because you haven't yet seen what you'd hoped for. You haven't yet tasted the promise. You haven't yet walked across your Jordan. And you've been longing for it, some of you, for many, many years. But I feel like the Lord has been starting to whisper to us a few times now. This is the time for the long-awaited dream. This is the moment for the long-desired finish. This is the time for the reaping of the seeds sown long ago. This is our moment. So I'm going to ask the team back there if you could just play that song. And I'm going to invite you to just settle. And I want you to just focus on the Lord. And I want you to start to dare to believe that God would be good to you. Let's do that. Lord, we trust you for good. And we find peace by believing in you. And we ask you, Lord, for a year of profound breakthrough and victory. Make this year an outstanding year in the amount of testimonies we're able to bring and the praise that you were offered. We choose to stand here in this grace that you've given us, Lord. And we boldly declare all our trust is in you. We surrender, Lord, once again, all that we have to receive all that you have. And it's not a fair trade, Lord. We give you honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'm going to invite you to just dare to believe God in this year. Dare to believe God and find rest. This year, the rolling waves of kindness and breakthrough and wisdom and favor are going to be our portion, and you're going to see them again and again. I'm looking forward to the year together with you. Let's keep the testimonies.